and it reads, "Day after day they seek me and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that practiced righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Why do we fast, but we do not see? Why humble ourselves, but you do not notice? Look, you serve your own interest on your fast day and oppress all your workers. Look, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to strike with a wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose, a day to humble oneself? Is it to bow down the head and like a bulrush and to lie in sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to Yahweh? Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them and not to hide yourself from your own kin. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of Yahweh shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and Yahweh will answer. You shall cry for help, and God will say, 'Here I am.' If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness and your gloom be like the noonday. Yahweh will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets to live in." There ends the scripture reading. Even though fasting is the subject of over 100 verses in the Bible, until this past year I had seldom given much thought as to why one would want to fast, or more specifically, why a lover of food such as myself would ever want to do such a thing. I do have a few memories of briefly contemplating fasting. Upon returning home from church one Sunday during my middle school years, I recall announcing to my family I was going on a fast. I didn't need lunch. I doubt that the fast lasted past dinner time. And looking back on it, I can't imagine that I had profound reasons for fasting. I suspect that I thought the fast would somehow make me a more pure and holy person. Fast seems like the kind of thing one does if one's serious about one's faith. The next time I remember thinking about fasting was when I was in college, and I read Nelson Mandela's autobiography. In recalling his days as a prisoner, Mandela assesses the efficacy of hunger strikes, which we might think of as a secular form of fasting. In addition to noting that the success of a hunger strike for prisoners depends upon the outside world hearing about it, he also made for me what was a persuasive argument against hunger strikes. He objected to the idea that those who are already suffering threaten their own health, even courting death. To him, it seemed like a self-destructive form of passive protest. He preferred more assertive forms of protest like work strikes. Whenever he was outvoted by other prisoners in opposing a hunger strike, Mandela remembers being jokingly accused of not wanting to miss a meal. Those in favor of the fast would cite the successes of fast by courageous leaders like Gandhi. In the end, Mandela would abide by the decision to fast and often be in the position of keeping in line some of his more wayward colleagues who wanted to nibble on something. After all, they would argue, they had faithfully served the struggle for many years, so they should be allowed some leniency. Mandela, however, was never swayed, and I appreciate his principled commitment despite his own critical views of hunger strikes. Later, after I arrived here as a pastor, I encountered the idea of fasting again when I learned of the fast done by a retired UCC pastor in White Salmon named David Duncan. On more than one occasion, he did fasts of 45 days as part of an effort to have Congress forgive impoverished countries of their debts to the United States. Duncan once wrote that a typical day in the sixth week of his water-only fast would find him hobbling down the corridor of the House of Representatives, leaning on his walker. He recalled how each day it got harder to make his rounds to the different offices. On his visits, he got to know some of the office staff, even if a particular representative would never agree to meet with him. In fact, for one receptionist, he provided some informal marriage counseling. As he became more and more emaciated over the course of his fast, the staff would say, "How's it going today, Reverend?" They looked worried about his health. But he would always smile and say that he was doing better than most of the 50,000 or so who would starve to death that day. Duncan found that even when he felt as if he was at the end of his rope because of his condition, he would get a refreshing surge of new energy and hobble onward. I admired Duncan for his commitment, but the idea of such a long fast still seemed far beyond anything I would ever want to contemplate. Yet at some point this past year, I became captivated by the idea of joining with members of our church to do a fast. The fact that the fast would only be 24 hours made it much easier to contemplate. I still worry about missing a meal, but I think this kind of fast is doable for me. For those of you who might have missed the recent articles in the link, our mission and outreach ministry has been making plans to build upon our highly successful recent history of doing a church-wide social action in the month of February. We're still riding the waves of some of that success. As some of you might have seen a couple of weeks ago, almost 9,000 people on Facebook clicked that they liked a picture from our Marriage Equality March. More than 1,500 of those people then shared the picture with their friends. The idea this year is to do a 24-hour fast that calls for a state budget that feeds our children. Last year, our state cut in half a program that helped feed 12,500 children. They also completely ended a program that provided farmers market vouchers for low-income mothers, children, and seniors. Over 76,000 children and adults benefited from that program. School meals and food banks are other programs funded by our state that lawmakers might consider cutting. There are many ways to bear witness in response to this situation, but fasting has become particularly compelling for me. I have now discovered a number of reasons why a food lover such as myself might get fired up about fasting. So let me share with you my top five reasons. Because I didn't even know our state was making these cuts that negatively impact children until I researched it, my first motivation is that I want to make sure that other people know what's going on. And I want people to know that I'm committed to the children of the state as a person of faith, that we're committed as a church, as people of faith. Back in biblical times, they did a day-long fast that were public as well. And as our scripture reading for today indicates, some believe that those fasts should be done with a deep prophetic concern for others. Isaiah writes of God saying, "Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry?" We've got a number of plans for making our fast a public witness. In addition to beginning and ending the fast with public meals to which we'll invite the media, those who are fasting are also going to be invited to wear a lapel with to wear on their lapel the symbol of a child's handprint. That can be a conversation starter for telling other people why one's fasting. I'm excited because our Christian Education Committee has also developed an art project for children to make handprints on paper plates that say fast for the children along the rim. Dan and I did a test run on this art project a few days ago, so this is hers. We'll be inviting parents to post the on Facebook pictures of their children holding the plates. As a parent, I know it's hard to pass up any opportunity to post a cute picture of my child. So that would be an easy public witness. And we also hope to perhaps bring these up to the rotunda of the Capitol building for an art installation. Another reason I like the idea of our fast is because of how it trains my focus during those 24 hours. Let me give you an analogy. Last November, when I preached a sermon on gratitude, I had this strong desire to start cultivating a reoccurring sense of gratitude in my life. So what I did is this. My iPhone allows me to have a daily alarm so that when it goes off, the word gratitude appears on the screen while a song called Bubbly by Colby Calais plays. So now every morning, this alarm goes off at 8 a.m. Usually I'm walking Joey with Danilyn in the stroller at that point. When the alarm goes off, I then ask myself, what am I grateful for today? I try to focus my mind on something specific. I mention this story because the fast has a similar function. Throughout the fast, I'm going to be having hunger pangs. And those hunger pangs are going to be like an alarm reminding me of why I'm doing what I'm doing. A fast is a built-in alarm system for getting focused on something that really matters. In this case, it's the well-being and happiness of children. It's also the fact that we've got this faith that causes us to be committed to hungry children. A third reason I like the idea of fasting in this particular instance is that, pardon the pun, it gives us a taste of what it's like to be a hungry child. If every person in the state of Washington got a 24-hour taste of what it's like to be a hungry child and thought about the hunger experience of children in our state during that period, would we have a different set of public policies? Would we stop to think more seriously about our budget choices and how they affect the lives of children who don't have much of a voice in the matter? In making a commitment to do a fast, I not only think about how it will give me a taste of what it's like to be hungry, but I also think about what I'll experience over that 24 hours is not nearly as bad as what hungry children experience. Let's say I have a weak moment, and while no one's watching, I drive down to Burgerville and get a burger. Fasting for me is a choice. I don't have to do it. But hungry children don't have a choice. They can't just say, I'm going to be hungry for only 24 hours. The thought of the extreme disadvantages hungry children face just motivates me all the more to be committed to fighting child hunger. The fourth reason that I like the idea of a fast is because it's something that we can do together as a community. It brings us together for a common cause. I like the poetic language of Isaiah that brings this communal act of fasting to the fore. In Isaiah, God is talking about the entire people of Israel fasting. And it's by their fasting that they become the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets to live in. In other words, when we fast, we become committed to the work of building the kingdom of God. That's something that we do together, arm in arm, as compatriots in our faith. I realize that some of you might be worried that you can't participate for valid health reasons. Barbara Harlan and Karen Combe, both nurses, will be working on some health guidelines. For example, we don't want pregnant women or people with diabetes doing a water-only fast. Still, our hope is to come up with viable alternatives that can be done over the course of 24 hours. For some, it might mean doing something that allows for eating. For others, it might mean a liquid fast that allows for more than water. We won't have fast police inspecting what you drink. Dorian's not going to get in trouble for sipping a little or slipping a little Crystal Light in her water bottle. I've heard that even Gandhi and Cesar Chavez put a little lemon and honey in their water when they're fasting. What matters is that you do something appropriate for your health and that brings meaning to your 24 hours of commitment. The fifth reason that I like fasting is what I believe is that it's a way to keep in touch with the presence of God in our lives and to let God's light shine in and through us. Our scripture says that when you fast, then your light shall break forth like the dawn. Then your light shall rise in the darkness and your gloom be like the noonday. What is it about fasting that makes it a means for letting God's light shine? I don't think it's because it cleanses our system of naughty vices. I think it's because fasting at its best is an act of love. For us as a church, it can be our way of making real and tangible how much we care about the children in our state. It makes children who go to bed hungry at night more than a passing thought. It makes them a priority in our lives. It makes them a focal point of commitment, of significant public concern. For me, there comes a point when a love of others overrides love of food. I may love food, but I like to think that I care enough about children to go without food for one day. I like to think that I care enough to want to see children have lives in which they too can love and enjoy food as much as I do. Amen.